The solemnity of St. John the Baptist is a unique feast day within the church, and it reminds us that God has a plan for each and every one of us. All of us are chosen by God to be holy and blameless and to serve Him, and our mission in life is important no matter who we are, great or small, rich or poor, healthy or sick, whatever our circumstances, God has a plan for us, and that plan is important. And if we fulfill it, we're doing something beautiful for God. I say this feast day is unique because St. John the Baptist is the only one of the saints whose birthday we celebrate, excluding, of course, our Lord and our Blessed Lady. They are the only other two saints, or our Lord God and our Lady, the Mother of God. Of course, we celebrate their birthdays. St. John the Baptist, we celebrate his birthday as a unique feast because all the other saints, we only celebrate their deaths. You know, they're passing from this life into the next. But St. John the Baptist's birth is unique, and so we celebrate it. And liturgical calendar is arranged in such a way that these three births fall into place in a sort of historical way. The Annunciation takes place on March 25th, and then 9 months later we celebrate Christmas. We're told in the scriptures that when Our Lady went to visit St. Elizabeth, which was right after the conception of Jesus, Elizabeth was in her 6th month. So 6 months from, 3 months rather, from March 25th, we celebrate the feast of John the Baptist. We remember in a particular way these three births, of course, Jesus, because he's the Son of God, and everything centers around that central event of history, which is the Word made flesh. Our Lady, because she is the Mother of God and the instrument by which Christ came into the world, and because her birth in a very unique way was holy, but even more holy because her conception was holy. And then we celebrate also the feast of the birth of St. John the Baptist today, because St. John the Baptist's birth was also unique. The greatest of all the prophets, the one called to be the precursor of the Lord, the tradition tells us that St. John the Baptist was sanctified in his mother's womb. And this is what we are reading about when we reflect, when we read about and reflect upon the visitation of Our Lady to her cousin, St. Elizabeth. Our Blessed Lady was the Ark of the Covenant, the one bearing the new covenant written in the blood of Christ, carrying the Christ child in the first moments of his existence in his mother's womb. We're told by St. Luke that after the Annunciation, she went with haste to the hill country to visit her cousin, St. Elizabeth. And when Our Lady came into the presence of Elizabeth, St. Elizabeth was aware of the outpouring of grace because of the presence of the Christ child in her womb. And the child, St. John the Baptist, leapt in St. Elizabeth's womb for joy at the presence of Christ and his Holy Mother. And we're told that that moment, St. John the Baptist was sanctified. He was washed clean of original sin and given this unique privilege of being born without any sin, without original sin, being born in the state of grace because of his unique mission to be the precursor of the Lord. This is why our Lord says in the Gospel that no man born of woman is greater than John the Baptist. But the interesting thing here is we have to remember that when anybody is chosen in a special way or loved by God in a particular way, and of course our Blessed Lady as the Mother of God and St. John the Baptist as his precursor were chosen in a very special way and were loved by God in a very special way. When that happens, God does that also for the rest of us. People are chosen for the sake of the church, for the sake of God's family. And we are all called to be lifted up in the choice of Our Lady as the Mother of God, in the choice of St. John the Baptist as the precursor, the choice of St. John the Evangelist as the beloved disciple. St. John was taken aside and given that unique place so that all of us could see how much God has loved us and how he calls us into his company. And when our Lord says to his hearers that no one is greater than John the Baptist, born of woman, he also qualifies his statement by saying, but anyone who is a child of the kingdom of God is greater than he, can be greater than he. And the point isn't to say that St. John the Baptist is not one of the greatest saints. The point is to say that that choice of St. John as his precursor isn't the thing that makes him most pleasing to God, just as the choice of Our Lady as Mother of God is not in the first place the thing that makes her pleasing to God. On the contrary, Our Lady was most pleasing to God, and therefore God chose her to be his mother. Or rather, we can say that God created her perfect, made her his perfect tabernacle, the Ark of the Covenant, so that she might be worthy to become his mother. And St. Augustine and many of the fathers of the church reflect upon Our Lady's cooperation with the angel at the Annunciation and say, tell us that, for example, St. Augustine tells us that Our Lady is blessed rather because she believed than because she is the Mother of God. And there's no question that Our Lady's dignity is raised above all other human beings because God has chosen to dwell in her womb. And yet God chose to dwell in her womb because she was so pleasing to him. And it's that more than anything else that makes her who she is. And this is why our Lord corrects the woman who calls out from the crowd, blessed is the womb that bore you and the breasts at which you nursed, by saying, rather blessed are they who hear the word of God and keep it. He's not pushing Our Lady off to the side. He's rather focusing our attention on her in the most appropriate way. Yes, she's blessed because she conceived and gave birth to Jesus, but she is more blessed because she heard the word of God and put it into practice. And so we always have to remember that each and every one of us are chosen by God to fulfill the mission that he has given us. And whether our mission is to do something extraordinary like St. John the Baptist or some of the other extraordinary saints like St. Joseph or St. Maximilian Kolbe or St. Francis or St. Joan of Arc, or whether we're called to live in relative obscurity like St. Therese, for example, or all the other saints that we don't know because they have never been called to be raised to the altars, that's not the most important thing. The most important thing is that we fulfill God's word, we hear his word, and we put it into practice. And that is our each and every one of we all share that dignity in common. Each and every one of us, no matter who we are, no matter what our past is, no matter what family we come from, no matter what our job is, no matter how smart we are, no matter whatever circumstances we have experienced or as part of our life, each and every one of us share this thing in common, that we all are called to be holy and pleasing to God, and God gives us the grace to do that. And if we fulfill the task of being pleasing to God, we have done everything that the Lord expects of us. St. Francis of Assisi said to his brothers, you know, sometimes you think it's the preachers who bring about the conversion of souls and who are most pleasing to God, and that we need to have more eloquent preachers, and we should be, you know, thankful to God that we have a lot of eminent people joining the order and who are noteworthy. And he said, you know, that's not really the case. He says the true brothers in the order, those who are the true knights of the round table, he called them, are those who live in obscurity and pray and do penance and do everything they can to be pleasing to God. He wasn't saying that the preachers weren't important or that the preachers couldn't be holy. What he was saying is that we really need to focus our attention on the things that are most important. St. Maximilian said something similar to his friars in his City of the Immaculate in Poland. He says, in what does the progress of our community consist? Does it consist in having bigger and better printing presses or more and more brothers joining the order or more magazines or you know, more people frequenting the friary. And he said, no, the entire progress of what we're doing depends upon our interior union with Our Lady and through her with God. And that should be something that we always, always keep in mind. None of us are deprived of ever living in union with God and doing what's pleasing to Him. We may have plenty of crosses to carry. We may have a lot of temptations. There may be many things in our life which do not please us and make life difficult to endure sometimes. But we always have the ability to do something that is beautiful for God. And if we live a life of prayer, you know, that can be a real consolation. It may not be, you know, it may not give us an emotional high, but it can help us maintain our peace of conscience and our peace of soul, you know, which something that can persist in spite of the external distractions and annoyances of life. We can always return to the presence of the Lord and realize that He is with us and that He is pleased by our efforts to please Him. Ultimately, this is what Saint John the Baptist did. You know, his great holiness and dignity consisted not so much in the fact that he was called to be our Lord's precursor, but in the fact that he was faithful to the very end. This is the great dignity to which each and every one of us are called. And so we celebrate the feast of the birth of Saint John the Baptist, and we honor him in a very special way because of his great vocation and of his great holiness. But we do not forget, we cannot forget that each and every one of us has been called and have a mission. You know, as Catholics, we believe that we are truly members of God's family. There is a communion of saints, and it's not just the saints in heaven. It's also those who live in the state of grace here on earth. We are members of the body of Christ, and we truly participate in His life, and we are joined to His mission. We are baptized into Christ, and we are baptized, each of us, prophets, priests, and kings. And we come here before God's altar to offer the sacrifice of our lives. And it's not merely a gesture of saying to God, Lord, you know, I offer you my life and my intention is to do the right thing. But our offering is an instrument of grace. We don't redeem people in the sense that our Lord redeemed people from the cross. We don't co-redeem in the sense that Our Lady stood at the foot of the cross and together with our Lord won the graces that fill the treasuries of heaven. But each and every one of us can be an instrument of God's grace and are called to be that instrument. We are called to offer a sacrifice that is pleasing to the Lord. And our willingness to do that makes a difference, whether anybody sees it or not. The fundamental apostolate, of course, is not to preach. St. Francis said, preach always and sometimes use words. You know, so it's not in the first place to say something, although saying something very often is important and even crucial. But it's not even the first apostolate is not even giving good example. And that truly is even more primary than actually saying something, and that's why St. Francis says, you know, preach always and sometimes use words. The most fundamental apostolate for each and every one of us is the apostolate of prayer, is the apostolate of living a virtuous life and offering a sacrifice in union with God. And, you know, we should remember always that is the most fundamental thing, and make sure that we do that before anything else. Give God our time each day in prayer and try to make our participation in the Holy Sacrifice of the Mass fruitful. And that should lead us, you know, to the works of the apostolate, to doing the right thing in our families and giving good example, and then speaking up when necessary and being a witness in the world. All of that is necessary, but it has to begin fundamentally with a life of prayer. All of us are capable of doing something very, very important for God. All of us are called to be pleasing to Him and to fulfill the mission that He has given us in this life. All of us are called to be holy and pleasing in His sight. And that is what we have to remember today as we honor St. John the Baptist.